Welcome to the Randin Podcast with Raffi and Randall.
Okay. Welcome.
Okay, welcome back to the last episode of Randin Podcast for 2021. Hooray! We made it through a season.
Or what we're calling a season.
Well, episode 22, like, if you think about it, since we started at the end of Jan, that's almost one every fortnight. Like, that's actually close to it, considering we never really plan anything more than once a month.
So, consistency, surprisingly all right.
Well, I mean, considering we would have missed two episodes in January, we're missing the last one that's surprisingly on track. So, yeah. I'm happy with
that. We're learning the ways of content creators.
Yes.
You know, your connection content, is pretty bad. Keep it going. Damn. So on that note, if you're on YouTube, you can see where I am. There's a tree behind me, and I'm just parked out the front of some random farm in Busselton. I'm in the Tesla office.
30 seconds ago, the farmer came out to make sure he was okay and not just a weirdo.
Yeah, he's probably a bit worried that there's somebody just parked in their Tesla outside their farm going, are you all right? It's like, it's all good. I'm just in my office space.
The Tesla's probably going to catch on fire and then he'll have to put it out. So
this is true.
All right. It might
go and round up the cows for him.
Well, this is also true, but as we'll get to in a bit, I can't recommend Teslas anymore. It's over between us. That's coming up a bit later.
What has happened? Tell me.
We're going to have to find out. But in
soon.
The meantime, it's how are you? So Chandra, how are you?
I'm all right. I've had an interesting couple of weeks. Last week's been a little bit something different, where I kind of feel like I've gone back to being like a medical student again and just spent the week hanging out in various clinics. Medical clinics, just sitting in and just learning again. And it was kind of fun because I do find sometimes... In Ophthal. So just going to Ophthal clinics with my old bosses in various different subspecialty things just to try to brush up knowledge again. Because I found over the last year, it's mostly sort of general things that I've been doing. And it's very easy to de-skill on the subspecialty stuff because you just don't see it very often at all. And it is better if you have a bit of knowledge so that when you, for example, with ophthalmology, there's a whole, like any of the medical specialties, there's a whole bunch of niche areas within that normally people subspecialize. So for example, kids, I don't normally see kids, but you know, if a random kid comes up, you know, that needs to be seen emergently, it's good to be comfortable looking after that. And if it's something you don't see very often, it's very easy to de-skill in that. So what I did is I picked out a bunch of clinics and just went and sat in like you used to, like as a trainee, just to brush up on those subspecialty sort of skills. And I thought it's probably something that I will do on a, you know, semi-regular basis on an ongoing thing, because often as a trainee, you often see these people, you know, out in private and you're like, oh, what are they doing? Not knowing this is the new thing to do.
Do you reckon though, right, that the sitting in thing, now that you're finished and you're sitting in to upskill, is infinitely more useful than it ever was as a medical student?
Yeah, definitely, because the conversation you have is like, oh, actually I saw some patients like this, and you have a much more detailed, in-depth conversation about the practical, how do I apply this in my setting, as opposed to just the very basic of what is this? So you've sort of moved on past the, you know what it is, but you're discussing the subtleties of it.
Well, here's the thing. During med school, I never found any of those useful. I was like, okay, so you had a chat. You asked me the list of questions that I had in my textbook. Something happened. And where you ended up and where I ended up was I ended up at the end of a list. You ended up with a management plan. And the delta between those two things was a bit too great for me to go, I don't know what I'm meant to get out of this. Like, it almost feels like med is taught by people who finished, and because it's so long, we've forgotten where we were, right? And therefore, we come up with, oh, this would be really useful. It's like, yes, to you now, not then. right? So all the little things, it's like, think about clinical placement, right? I had no idea what I was meant to do on the ward. So I'd go and ask some questions, but I had no marker of what success was like. Like people would say, it's like, oh, develop a medical plan. Like, you can't do anything. You're a medical student, right? You can't write anything.
Yeah. What are you going to do with that?
Yeah. And then you're meant to present to someone. You're presenting to an intern who's also barely got an idea, right? Like, I mean, they're an intern. Yeah, consultants are always busy and the registrar are running off their feet. They don't have time to listen to the intern, let alone the medical student. So it becomes this weird thing where you're like, there's a lot of activity. Somehow people get through it, but I just feel like there's never really a good guidance plan. So like when you're saying, oh, sitting down, like, oh yeah, that would be really useful. And I was just thinking, none of those times did I ever think that when I was a medical student.
I think it's the difference between sitting down and having direct context of why this is useful. Because as a medical student, you see something, you're like, oh, well, that's new. I have no idea how I'm going to use this knowledge later necessarily. Whereas now I sit down, I'm like, oh, I saw someone like that and I was wondering what I should do. And I did call around, but hey, how do you do it in this setting?
It's like you've got the framework, right? Whereas in a medical student land, you're meant to get the framework and the context and the subtleties in one hit. And it always just seemed like it was a bit far of a stretch for it to really work.
Yeah. I always found that most learning was actually after med school on the job when you're doing stuff and you're like, oh, I need to know this because I need to know what to do next.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing. The clinical years, I just found apart from getting an IV in, what does a drug chart look like and what to, like, the actual going and taking histories. I know some people, like, there was a couple of in our year group, they were really proactive. And they seem to have figured out what the outcome was meant to be. But I would say, by and large, it was at best, and I'm being very, very optimistic here, maybe 20%. I would actually bet it's closer to 5% that figured out what you're meant to do, and they could figure out the internal marker of success or the aim, right? Because everyone else kind of like wandered around and did the same thing. And then you ask them, everyone was after just cool cases because everyone kept on asking the same questions, getting roughly the same answers, and that was it. So everyone, hence in medical student land, it's always like, oh, what's the cool case? Did you see that rare thing that you'll never see again, right?
Yeah.
Became the thing that you learned because everyone was like, we've got to list the questions. Ask
them. We need to ask these from you.
Well, why? Yeah. Anyway, just random sidetrack. But anyway, what made you do this to begin with? Like, are you going to be doing more locums? Like, what are you up to? You went off on a boat. That's the last I heard. Now you're back in Perth, I think.
Well, then I went back on another boat.
Yeah, I think I is.
Most of next year, I'm just going to be locuming, basically. So, which is kind of short stints of work various places, but short stints all add up to make it pretty much a full year. Mostly based down in Bunbury and Busselton, but going around to a few different places as well. But it's going to be a year of just work to save up for the subsequent year. So, yeah.
You're going to be on a boat again?
Well, currently that's the plan.
Wow. Okay.
So the boat plan has been locked in. So hopefully save up for a while. And the current plan is to go sailing for a while. Long period of time. Cool. Yeah, it should be fun. It's been interesting, actually. Been chatting to a whole bunch of people from different walks of life to get advice on, hey, is this a good idea or a bad idea to start on one side of the world and do a very slow lap around the world over, 2 to 4 years? Surprisingly, the overwhelming number of people are like, yes, do it, for various reasons. I was expecting more people to have reasons not to do it, but I was very surprised.
Who would say no?
Well, I was like, it must be, like, I deliberately tried to look outside my circle of, people like, oh yeah, that seems like a, for example, last year would be like, yeah, that seems like a something idea to do. But I tried to ask very, other conservative people who wouldn't normally do that sort of stuff. But yeah, surprisingly.
You see, I think there's a fault here in your logic, and that's what you're doing is everyone's dream, like, maybe plan, right? It's like saying, if you ask anyone, should you buy a Ferrari, right? like no one thinks about the servicing.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's like, why specifically my questions to most people was, what are the reasons why I should not do this? So that's where I found probably the most useful information, especially was, oh yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Better think about that aspect of things.
Okay. What's been the usual negatives?
There's been a few different ones. For example, one somebody recently brought up was like, oh, well, you are going to be sacrificing something. And for example, even career, it is a sacrifice. Because it means even if you're doing ophthalmology or other startup-y stuff, I suppose is what I was thinking as well, it is a sacrifice because if you're on a boat working remotely, there's only so much you can do. You won't be there all day, every day to work, you know, 8 days a week.
Yes, yes. Oh, no. You're making it sound like such a sacrifice. Oh, yeah.
But it means it's
you
limited
better really,
of what you
really
can
think
do.
About that one.
It's a tough one, but it means you can't, you know, go big on those projects.
Yeah, yeah. True. And I wonder, it's going to be interesting, like, once you pull it off and then you come back, because it's like the delta between relatable experiences between you and everyone else will be that different that there's going to be, I think, a reacclimatization phase.
I don't know. That seems like a later me problem. I'll work that out.
I don't know, like, as in, okay, do you remember Antarctica, right?
Yeah, true.
Remember what we were saying, which was like, oh, you know, every other barbecue is going to be ruined because for context, it was, we just got back from like a offshore trip. So we went for a hike in Antarctica. So amazing stuff. Got the Zodiac back. And then everyone, the ship captain was like, oh, come to the back deck, we've got a surprise. And it was the entire thing had been turned into a barbecue. So they were grilling burgers and we're like, okay, so we're having lunch. And we're like, oh yeah. And then you're sailing past and there's giant icebergs, there's like penguins, there's whales going past, there's like ice shelves falling off and it's beautiful. And we're like, this has just ruined it, right? Like every other barbecue we ever go to, they'd be like, oh, this is really good. I was like, it's good, but there was this one time in Antarctica.
Yeah. It does create some problems.
You're right. So it's like, and then immediately after we got back, all we could talk about is Antarctica. Like we were stuck on a boat. Like if you think about it, you're in a continent, you have no context. Like say you were in COVID land, right? And you just happened to get stuck for a month. Like you're not going to have anything to talk about except for a boat and trip in Antarctica. So you're going to be boat and sailing and clouds and sea.
The interesting thing is I had an experience of that with a patient who, you know, I can't say I'm known for the longest consultations, but this patient I talked to for a while. So she was older, I think, you know, 60s or something, 70s, and had just come back from 15 years of living on a boat. And, you know, her and her husband getting old, and so they couldn't manage everything by themselves anymore. So they decided time to call it quits. But she was like, yeah, so we just moved on shore. Yeah, it really sucks. I'm used to getting up, jumping off the back of the boat and going for a swim in like random beautiful location. And she's like, yeah, now I'm not sure what do I do.
yeah, although like as nice as it would be, I think I would miss some of the like brunch. Come on, you can't do that in brunch, right? Like if
yeah,
I had
I don't
to pick
know how
one
long avocados
big...
last.
Yeah. And you cannot have fresh, like, you know, not a problem for you, Mr. I'm a vegetarian and I don't
fresh
eat egg,
seafood.
But I'll eat lamb.
Fresh seafood.
Yeah, but like hollandaise sauce, that's like the killer for me. And also freshly brewed coffee, like proper espresso. Like I'm assuming-
Actually, I did have a look. So some of the boats, there's some crazy coffee people that basically have an entire coffee set up on their boat. They have fresh beans, proper grinder, proper mean, and they make their own coffee on their boat. And also it's interesting because part of the reason is like, I got time. Like I can take half an hour to make it in the morning because I can. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, it sounds amazing, especially like, you know, compared to us lesser folk who are not planning on going around the world on a boat, that just sounds like I can't imagine negatives at the moment.
Well, I'm sure I'll find them out when I get on the boat. So I've decided the 6-month trial for the year after and see how it goes.
random interlude.
Fair enough. Yeah, because for me, it's been the utter opposite, where I took this week off. But unlike the other week, I didn't plan to go anywhere because Melbourne's been in lockdown, everyone else is away in the 1 hour plus range areas. And I still have lists. So though I took the full week off, I still had stuff that I couldn't cover because literally, I think everyone's just sick of working. This week has just been friends just asking for emergency cover. So I made a rule that I would do what I'm normally doing, one that I'd agreed to ages ago before I confirmed this week, and that was it. And the rest of the time, I scheduled in things as if I was away. So there was a scheduled in brunch. There was a scheduled in bike ride, which unfortunately didn't happen because the weather literally went ridiculously hot. And then it was like gale force winds and like storm this morning. And right now is lovely.
Look, all I'm going to say is, have you heard about Perth?
but the thing was, though, because I'd auto decided that I wasn't doing anything, it actually felt relaxing. Like I didn't, I didn't feel
overwhelmed. Go for the back-to-back days.
I just refused to do it. Like, even like podcast stuff, right? And I just refused to do anything other than what. Like I didn't have to work. Work was absolutely only after I was so bored that I couldn't think of anything else. So did the newsletter. Did a few little things here and there, but work was absolutely lowest priority. So if I wanted to sleep, I could just go and have a nap whenever I wanted. And I think that made it good, but it also made me kind of realize just how far down the, it's the fatigue thing, right? You don't know you're fatigued when you're fatigued because you feel fine because you've slipped on a slippery slope. So once like the 2 days wound up, so it usually takes me 2 or 3 days to kick in. It usually a bit longer, but I think I'm just, it's been 2 years. So it's, you know, I think yesterday or the day before Thursday, it was Thursday where I was like, whoa, I'm finally starting to feel like 3 days had gone by that. And I was like, okay, now I'm starting to feel relaxed. And this was obviously near the end and I'm on call again right now. But what I decided was like, all right, that's it. Regardless of what happens with Omicron and the travel stuff, I'm booking in my next holiday. So I've taken 2 weeks off in January, except I can't go anywhere for 2 weeks because one of my cousins decided that he's having his family ceremony at the end of the first week. Like he's already married because like they just had to sneak it in between all the lockdowns because like it had been delayed like five times or something. They're like, yeah, fair enough. Like just, you know, but then the rest of the family were meant to be coming from Queensland. So we were going to have a family ceremony on the Sunday, like the first week of January. But now with Omicron, I don't know if they're coming. So they've already shifted the days once. I'm like, just pick a day, man. Like, and then everyone also is coming back from, so like our good friend Rahul, who also is an ophthalmologist. So he's coming back because he's taken a holiday early. So there's like the 10th of Jan where I can't, all my group is away, so no one else can cover. Right. So I have to be here for that day, and I was going to be here for the wedding anyway. So I've decided literally the day after, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting on a flight. And I'm managing to go overseas.
What? Is that to Tasmania?
No.
Technically over a sea to get there.
Oh, no. This is closer to French Polynesia than anything else while still being in Australia.
Oh, yeah, interesting. So
have you heard of Norfolk Island?
What? Yeah, right.
No, it's literally Sydney, across, Auckland, fly up.
Yeah.
French Polynesia is like closer than anything else than even
New Zealand. It's still Australia?
It's still Australia. It's still New South Wales. They so have to go into lockdown.
You have never traveled overseas.
Yeah.
Technically, you're not international.
right? And they had to lock down during when Sydney locked down, even though.
Okay, that's kind of stupid.
I'm sure no one actually followed it, but that was the official mandate because they're technically New South Wales.
Right.
So they have like a New South Wales postcode, even though they've got like an independent sort of government that runs it. So I booked the flights for there for 6 days because I'm just like, you know what, this is, well, I mean, Perth would be the other country that I could go to.
No, we say no, stay away. Keep you and your dirty hands out of here.
So Norfolk, I didn't finish booking it until like a few days ago, because on the 16th they met and decided, and you just have to have a normal PCR test before you get on and apply for a permit, sort of a thing. So like, all right, that's fine. And it's basically counted as interstate travel. So New South Wales isn't locking down, so they're unlikely to be. So this is the best non-isolation thing that I could think of. And it's
but
also
you're right, though. I do remember, like, during busy work time, sometimes the only thing that sort of keeps you going is knowing that, oh, yeah, okay, it sucks right now, but there is a break coming up. And I definitely found that helpful. You could really suck it up and work as hard as you need, but it's like, it's okay. There is some light there at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah, well,
and it doesn't need to be much.
No, no. So this was the problem was, after about 2 years, I ran out of that fuel. Like the ability to psych yourself up for that is just gone now. Like I just, brain's on mush mode. It's on maintenance mode. Like I think there was some creative stuff you asked me to do. I'm like nothing actually creative is happening. It's just the same trope. I'm just running on autopilot. It's just like, there is no fuel in the tank for that sort of stuff. So hence I'm not doing anything extra that I can avoid it. No. Time to go. And maybe a week will do it. I feel like I actually need like 2 to 3 weeks, but right now it's impossible to take and also impossible to do anything with it. Like as in if I take it now and stay home, there's just so much shortage in cover that if I just piss off, I'll just feel guilty. I can't piss off anywhere anyway. So I'll just be sitting at home feeling guilty. So once I can go somewhere, I will definitely take 3 weeks because I think that's what I'll need. But in the meantime, Norfolk Island, that's what I've got to look forward to. Packing the drone. I was going to pack the cats, but that's probably not allowed.
Islands get upset about cats being dropped off.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, what was this skipper boat thing that you did?
So that was just last week, basically. Did a course so after being on the boat for the month, then went to actually get an official ticket to say that, yes, I can drive a boat. So maybe slightly out of order. But it was interesting because, again, similar to the medical thing, it was, now I can have much more sensible conversation about stuff. It's like, I was doing these things. So that's why that was wrong. So that was quite useful. I mean, a very simple thing I learned was initially I was like, the GPS chart plotter things that are on the boat, they show you where the boat is and where it is on the map. And I was like, well, GPS is super duper accurate, so that must be the way to go, right? But then what I learned is that all of the GPS maps are based off the same paper maps. He showed me. He was like, okay, so this is the paper map of this region. It was surveyed in 1982. So it has not been updated since then. And also, really? If you look, it has different regions and accuracy for each region. Like, okay, so in this region, it's very accurate, plus or minus 5 meters. In this region, this is a category D. So it's accurate to within 500 meters. So the problem becomes you have a very accurate GPS that's plotting your exact position on a map, which may or be maybe half a kilometer out. I was like,
what's wrong with that?
Okay, I see. This is why we need to learn about how to follow the, don't bump into stuff. Being able to manually navigate. I was like, okay, now I understand.
I would have thought like with low orbit satellites, people, I suppose there's just a lot of it. So if no one's going to pay for it, no one's going to actually bother mapping it.
Yeah, exactly. So places like Harders are well mapped out very accurately, but random middle of nowhere places. Eh?
But what about Norfolk Island? Maybe you could do a trip there.
Later problems. Yeah. But yes. Would you take your Tesla to Norfolk Islands?
Wow, what a segue. No. So I've changed my mind on Teslas. I cannot recommend them anymore.
What has happened?
Okay, so like, I was an early adopter. I put the money down before it even got announced, and I got my Model 3. And it's amazing. Mm. It self-drives and does all those things, right? And it's meant to be technologically superior. But for such an advanced car, it fails on one crucial test. There was a spider in my Tesla. There was a spider. It was in my Tesla. Like, what is the point of sentry mode if it can't keep a spider out of the Tesla? Like, I almost have to burn it to the ground. Like, I don't know what the appropriate answer.
On the upside, though, it's got a big battery pack, so you can burn it down very efficiently. I assume that's what, like, you've done. You burnt your car, correct?
Well, that's why I can't recommend it anymore. It's only a one spider car. Well, the other problem is actually I didn't quite appreciate, right? So you know how it's very minimalist, right? There's no vents and grills, except there is. It's just a massive one.
Yeah.
Right? And there's also a massive one at the front, which is like the one that blows onto the windscreen. So when a spider crawls in, it can literally go anywhere. So it went in the foot pedal. Ooh. I tried to, like, you know, scratch it up. It climbed up the foot pedal and it ended up on the other side next to the vent. I tried to get it there. It disappeared. And I still, to this day, don't know where it is. So every time I'm getting in the car, I check my seat because I'm like, okay, look, the spider's not going to kill me. But if I'm driving and it just happens to pop out, I'm going to freak the F out, right? And that's
going to... hearing is the spider will kill you.
And to make matters worse, I don't know where it is, but every time I get in, there's just one thin spider web somewhere new.
Look, it's like messing with me, man. There's a clear solution. You just need to get a bigger spider that'll eat that spider. Problem solved.
No, I mean, I
then you can put a cat, and then a bird, and then a dog.
I mean, this spider's massive anyway. It can barely fit in the car. It's huge, okay? You just don't understand.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, like, seriously, what's the point of all the cameras? Come on, sentry mode. Like, you've got all this stuff. You can't get rid of it. Like, I don't believe biodefense weapon mode anymore.
I was
like,
going to say, well, isn't there a biohazard mode or something?
Yeah, yeah. So clearly it's wrong. Or I didn't buy the hazards. Yeah, well, I don't know if the Model 3 has it. But anyway, I'm upgrading. Right. Okay, I'm upgrading. I want, like, the laser biodefense. I just, yeah, people, Teslas are not spider-proof. My world has been shattered.
Well, there you go. You've heard it first. Teslas are not spider-proof.
I think you're going to do holiday. Like, I don't actually understand what you'd written, like, holiday-themed pagan stories, because half the stuff you wrote under it were not pagan stories at all.
Sorry. I think I just copied and pasted that stuff. I just copied the one. Yeah. That's actually not really a pagan story, but well, anyway, actually, it's more of a Christmas story.
Well, I mean,
Christmas traditions, interesting ones.
Yeah. So, well, I was thinking, like, we could cover a couple of them. But the other thing was, since it's our last one, do you want to actually go over, like, what your favorite thing has been about the actual podcast? This is our sign-off one, after all.
This is true. This is true. We should wrap it up with the takeaways.
Yeah. Well, I mean, quickly, since you brought up the holiday things, Christmas carols, I don't actually know many because I never really grew up with. I'm a third world baby, okay? Like, I never had Christmas carols. But your London Bridge is falling down, that's not pagan. That's about the Black Plague.
I don't know where this came from, those ones.
Oh, no, that was Ring a Rosie is the Black Plague. London Bridge is falling down is the London fires.
I think I literally just copied and pasted the question before. Yeah, I only wrote this one about Cagana in what? Catalonia. So,
the hell? Okay, context, please. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I was looking up interesting, like, holiday traditions, and apparently in Catalonia they have the Cagana. If that's the wrong pronunciation, let me know. But
Cagana.
Yeah, we'll go with that. And apparently it's a figurine that gets added to a lot of scenes, like nativity scenes. And
just like
it's a
Christmas thing, is it?
Yeah, it's a dude or a girl taking a dump, and so there's a guy with his pants down. And a poop under him. And that needs to be added to all the nativity scenes in Catalonia. Well, apparently, they're unsure, like, when I was looking into the origins of it, some people are like, oh, it's a sign of fertility because, you know, poop, good for the ground, for the farm. And some people are like, it started off with a joke and it's just going now. So there's all these figurines you can get of, like, Donald Trump, Obama, or, like, taking a poop. And apparently... it's a thing. Apparently in 2005, there was a public, like, nativity scene that was, you know, brought out,
like,
and there was
a huge Jackass, like the movie, like someone somehow managed to put it onto Wikipedia and people are now following it.
And it's like, we need to do this. But apparently there was a big outcry because that public nativity scene, and you know, it was like a big outdoor one, did not have anybody pooping. And initially the town decided that, oh, look, you know, you can't have that because it's wrong, because it's an offense to be pooping outside. So somebody had come up with a solution. Okay, well, have the guy pooping outside and then also have a figurine of a cop giving him a fine, showing that it's bad, but you still got the good luck in there. And apparently, eventually, they decided to put that in anyway.
I don't want to know what you look up. I don't want to know your Google search history anymore if this is the crap that you come up with.
Literally, the crap. insert sound effect here.
Oh, man. Well, that was... well, for a podcast that looks at random, that's hats off, my friend. That's
I feel like random has been achieved.
Yeah, that was news to me because I was just looking at your keywords on the Notion script going, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Excellent.
Random interlude.
Yeah. Although a random tidbit that's nowhere near as interesting, Oktoberfest, what do you think it's about? It's not pagan, huh? Yeah, so Oktoberfest actually starts at the end of September, and it's nothing about beer. It started off as a wedding anniversary of the people in, I think, just outside Munich. So they had a big celebration on their first year wedding anniversary and was on a big field. And it was such fun that they decided to repeat it and then repeat it and then repeat it. And people forgot what it was about. So it was just like a yearly party. So every year you're actually celebrating the old Duke or something's wedding anniversary. That's what Oktoberfest is.
Oh, there you go. It's a good way to set up a tradition and forget what the point of it was.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it's like drinking and a festival. So clearly the forgetting was going to be part of the show.
That's true. That was likely to follow.
I went to Germany. I went to Oktoberfest as a Muslim guy. So like I stood around. I literally went to the tents. Like, pretzel, thanks. You better go home now.
Yeah, right. Beer and bratwurst probably is not the ideal Muslim festival.
Yeah, so but I will say it was, I had no friends there, right? Like somehow I was in Germany and three of my friends were going to be there anyway. I was there literally, one of my friends had just left. I arrived like 5 hours after the fact. And then I left and another friend came like 2 hours after I left, right? So I was in that perfect bit where I had zero friends around in Germany, even though there was a few that were meant to be around, right? So I was like, well, I'm here. Can't not go and see Oktoberfest because everyone talks about it. I'm like, I really don't know what I'm going to do there because literally by myself, walking into a tent going, yeah, so this is clearly not made for me, but, you know, I've got to check it out. So I'm like, yes,
I'll buy a pretzel. It's the cultural thing to do, correct?
Yeah. So here's the thing. What I didn't realize is it is not like, you know, the schoolies crowd. It is the entire family. And they sit down at the table. Wow. And they're the most welcoming, you know, because there was like a family there. It was like a grandpa. And he's like, oh, you're not drinking. I'm like, oh, no, pretzel. And he was like, oh, yeah, welcome. He's like, oh, this is my grandson. And like the whole family gets there. So it's actually a family, like it's very festive, but it's kind of like a family festive sort of a thing. It's not a big, I'm sure it gets drunkard and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I went during the day because I was like, well, I'm at a new city and I don't really know on the way back, especially in the dark, and I'm going to some field. So I'll take some calculated risks here. It's going to be awkward anyway. So might as well make it awkward and visible.
Visibly awkward.
Yeah. So yeah, but it was genuinely festive, like a happy festive, not a drunken nightclub vibes. It wasn't sleazy at all. It was just everyone's around and everyone's like cheering everyone on, and they're just, yeah, they're just actually just catching up with family. Yeah,
sounds like I'll have to check it out sometime.
Yeah, you might have more fun than I did. Just a little bit. Although on that note, right, so you know the Woolworths next to like South Bank, where like the new one that opened up, right? So I walked in the other day and I was going to go get some Coke Zero. And I'm not sure if I can show you this on like...
This will be in the show notes.
I'm not sure how I can show. So basically, no, it's
we just don't. Zoom's amazing at filter out everything that's not.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, what I'll describe it to you. So it's like the Coke shells, right? Right next to that. Remember how there used to be like the fake wines, like the zero alcohol wines?
Yeah.
Like there's a couple of well for cooking wines and stuff, right? So that entire section now has, and I'm looking, fake wines, fake gin, the Fentimans lemonade-y looking stuff, the Liar's lemonade stuff. There's James Squire zero beer, Peroni zero beer, some other stuff that I don't recognize, like pre-mixed mixer drinks, right? And like what I'm drinking right now, yuzu sake non-alcoholic cocktail. Huh. Right, and they have Negroni spritz, margarita. So I've tried the classic G&T, and there's like Canadian rice. There's like there's an entire huge section.
Of well, it was interesting because when I was in San Francisco, I noticed a lot of non-drinkers like just choosing no drink, and I think it's becoming more and more of a thing. And now there's more and more non-alcoholic drinks that are tasty.
This section, like I go to this Woolworths weekly. This has sprung up in the last 3 weeks. I have gone down that aisle so many times that didn't used to be there. This is like in 2 weeks, it's gone from nothing. Actually, no, it definitely, unlike you, I actually do notice these things. So no, it is definitely within the last month, it has gone from, it used to be just mix, like, you know, just soda and other stuff to here's an entire section of fairly decent, like, you know, the I bought the non-alcoholic spirits like Seed Lip and Liars and stuff. So I had to order it online. They're all there now.
All right.
They're all just there. I was like, holy crap. Like,
what I'm hearing is the niche market is blowing up.
Yeah. So I'm going to try all these different ones out. So
when are we going to see Raffi Vodka?
Well, actually, I'm going to have to call Raffi Fest, which is the non-alcoholic Oktoberfest.
The problem is everybody remember, wait, why are we here?
That's true. All right. So before we go to our last section, we should actually do a highlight reel since this is the end of season one of the podcast. So what's any big special highlights for you?
Yeah, I'd say two things. One has been learning how to do an interview and managing the flow of an interview. That was interesting because I remember the first one we did, I was like, who's saying what? And how do we make sure, like, how do I get your attention to slip in some questions versus how do you keep the flow going without breaking it?
Well, I think the biggest thing I realized is that we have a very different pause amount for what's acceptable.
Yeah. It's like pause for effect. Talk. that was actually from a technical/learning perspective, that was quite good. And then also being able to practice some storytelling was quite good as well. And then the one segment that still stuck out at me as interesting was the how would you describe this picture segment we did.
Oh yeah.
It was probably terrible, but it was still, I had to think about that and it was interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, I'll see how next year pans out, but we might bring some of those little mini segments back in into our sort of in-between Asodi stuff because, I think that one was the early experimental ones. There was a couple that we never really got to try, like arguing the opposite. So, like, that's one we wanted to... I think that would have been interesting. But I think for me personally, I would say interviewing people has been interesting, but I found the most interesting one was interviewing Lahiru. Because unlike the other people, I felt like I knew him well. And there was just so much more to interviewing a friend. Like, as in, you just go, wow, there's like a whole, you can ask questions. Like, I think Tim Ferriss mentions this, where it's like, it's basically you get to be a creep without being a creep because of the situation. Like, you can ask questions, but you find out more than you ever could if you weren't in this artificial format.
Yeah. you have a bit more sort of reason slash permission to ask, tell me more about your backstory.
Yeah, and you're doing it in the context of the audience, so it's it's okay, you know. So that, yep. And I think the other part of it was that, well, it's not so much anything we did; it's more just the fact that people are listening. Like a huge audience, but
there are people listening. It was actually that was kind of nice as well to see. Oh wow, we've said some stuff and people actually listened. Yeah, that was surprising.
Oh, and I forgot something, which we have to do right now before we forget any more, because we actually have the second message that we ever got. It just came in during our last interview episode. So we couldn't slip it in there because it would have just broken the flow of interviewing someone. But I have to play it now. I wonder if this mic is going to pick it up. But I wonder even how I get to it. Oh, yeah, that's here we go. Messages.
Few changes in terms of how the content's presented, but overall it's been consistently entertaining. Bunch of random stuff, surprise, but I think there's a bit more organization to how the randomness is delivered. I know it definitely keeps me company while I'm going for a walk, so I find myself relying on it to keep me going. When I'm exercising.
Oh dear.
So keep up the good work, guys. And hope the episodes keep coming.
Wow.
Yay. I would say it was not prodded.
It wasn't?
This was not a script.
wait, I need. Nope. Oh man, where's the right? Yeah, that's it.
Correct sound effect.
Which means that we have to begin next year with like a growing up round story, because we have gotten another message, but it's
this
already
is true.
So it's gone on for a bit long, so I totally forgot about
and
that.
As a very quick follow-up on the last one, last message, things are going well. Both phones have been repaired, one of them has been sold already. And the second one literally just sold an hour ago, and just waiting for payment. So
I didn't realize. Oh yeah, that's right. There was two. Yeah.
That's right. So we should have some profits from that coming in shortly. And once I can confirm everything, then we should be able to start the new year with an update on where that was donated and how much.
Oh my God!
Keen listener donated.
Well, I actually, so we've had two messages with actual content to follow up on. That's, that's already given us ammo for
our episode. You'll find out next season. I think that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I was going to, just in terms of finishing up on a random question. This one has been lingering for the last three episodes. So I thought we'd finish up on that. And and it was, what's something random that someone's asked you to do that's made you think differently about yourself or change what you thought about yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Someone's asked you a question. You're like, oh, you're asking that of me? Or, I don't know if I, it changes what you think of yourself just because you're getting this request. Yeah.
Right. I read that differently. But
About you? Go with your answer though.
Well, mine was actually like something that someone's asked you to do that's made you think, change what you think of yourself is doing the podcast. And so I've realized I'm really bad at coming up with stuff on the spot. I distinctly remember our first episode of the podcast.
Everyone, it's like, hey, can you come up with a spontaneous thing? What?
No, it's not going to happen. Let me look around and see what I can see. I got nothing. So, that was a very interesting thing to learn.
Yeah, fair enough. Are you going to do anything about that or?
No, it doesn't seem to be too much of a problem so far. So I'll just keep scripting for now.
Yeah, fair enough. For me, it was a couple of things recently, but the one that probably got me the most, at one point I got asked to lead like a special interest group at work and I'm like, me lead. No, a tend to shy away from all the managerial things. But I kind of, you know, once you are in the medical field, you auto have to lead your teams. Yes. You never not get to. Yeah, like as in, you just don't get a choice. Like if you're in theater, you got to lead. Yeah, you just have to do it, right? So everyone kind of has that expectation. So that wasn't as surprising. But what was someone that I don't know particularly well actually was like, hey, you should set me up with someone, like romantically. Oh, right. And I was like, never in a million years did I think that I was the guy that was A, approachable for that sort of request, B, thought to have good judgment on these things, right? C,
also true.
Cared enough to do it or gave off the impression. Like, I am not a curry auntie. You know? Like, I mean, genuinely, it's like that part of the brain was never turned on, right? Like, and then
so
tech,
are they
sure,
now happily married?
This was recent. And they actually, I thought they were kidding. I genuinely thought this was like one of those haha requests. They recently clarified, no, they're not. And I was like, huh.
Hey. Can we make this into podcast content somehow?
They may or may not listen to the podcast.
But that's okay. We have a wide audience.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Who may be able to help crowdsource.
Hey, actually, all right. Well, this is going to be a cliffhanger, man. Like season two is going to... I'm excited for season two now. Like, I want to know how this ends.
Stay tuned.
Well, on that note... happy holidays, everyone. And we're going to take a break for a few weeks to actually better organize the seasons and how we're going to structure it. At the current moment, my understanding is we will do these mini sort of catch-up episodes along with more of the interview episodes, because I actually found them quite interesting. I'm not sure about you.
Yeah, definitely found them interesting.
So we've got a couple of guests. One that is almost semi-confirmed is someone who's a psychiatrist who has an interest in conspiracy theories and how they develop. So we thought the whole QAnon thing going on, it would be really interesting to kind of see how they got their start in psych, what made them choose it, and how they ended up as that as their special interest. Because, you know, as interesting as it is, no one else I know has a special interest in conspiracy
theories. I'm not sure I know anybody who specializes in conspiracy theories.
I'm not sure if this is her specialty, but she does have like
an special interest.
Yeah. There's a couple of other people as well that we might ask, some of our friends who've done other startups. And actually, if you have any suggestions, or if you're listening to this and you think, hey, yeah, life's led me down some pretty random decisions to get me to where I am, you would be perfect for the podcast. Actually, did you see your email? There is some random company who wants to be on the podcast.
Well, there you go. Let's find out.
Yeah.
This sounds like more cliffhanger material for next season.
Yeah, there is literally a startup, like a product marketer who wants to have the CEO on. I've looked through the bio. I cannot see how this would be a good fit for us, but we are getting inbound traffic. Who would have thought?
Well, that's new.
Yeah. Well, on that note, until next year, to season two.
Indeed.
With any last words from you?
Well, stay tuned for the cliffhangers and happy holidays, everyone.
All right. Happy holidays. Bye now.
Bye.
Adobe specific app that they're in, like alpha, which is for.
Yeah, all good. Yeah, thanks, mate. Oh, no worries.
I was worried about you.
Yeah, no, just getting some work done. Exactly.
How the hell did you just get stopped because you're being weird?
I'm just like on the random side of a street. And, I think it's the person that owns the farm nearby. I was like, you're right, we saw you there before. I'm just in the Tesla office.